Good to see each one here this morning. We'd encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John, if you will. Book of 1 John. I'd like to read just a few verses and then look at our lesson. The book of 1 John is very interesting, as all the Bible is. And a few years ago, Brother Alan Guthrie talked through this completely, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, on a series on the studies in our Bible classes. And I've had a couple of series on this in the last few years since we've been at Beulah. But one thing that's one of the central themes of the first part of the book is about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we look at chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, let's read just a few verses through verse 10. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So our relationship with God is very important. Our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is very important. The book of 1 John has much to say about the Trinity of God. That is, that it is clear that God is both one and three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one, yet they are distinct in personalities. There's three distinct persons in the Godhead. And so when we look at the first epistle of John, he talks about how this works, how one works with three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we can learn a lot of things from the little book of 1 John, and as it is in all the Bible. But this morning, I'd like to talk about the fact that these three are important to us in both lessons. It'll take two lessons just to cover the highlights of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we think about God, the Father, and who he is, and when we assemble on the first day of the week, God commands us as his children to assemble on the first day of the week. He commands us to assemble, and in those commands and illustrations through the New Testament, we learn that on the Lord's Day, we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. So when God the Father and give us these instructions through his word, we've come here today to worship him, yet we're worshiping God, God the Father, and we're remembering Jesus, his Son's death on the cross, and we're also mindful of what the Holy Spirit did when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to search the mind of God and reveal God's will to inspired men who wrote those things down that we have in the Bible today. So we're here with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit today, and we have an active part as children of God in worshiping the Father and remembering the Son and being thankful for the Holy Spirit in his part in our salvation of revealing God's will to us, to men who could write that for us. So all that's very important, and let's keep that in mind when we think about our worship on the Lord's Day. We have men who head the table, and we used to call it heading the table, but when we break the bread to remember the Lord's suffering on the cross, his body that suffered, the blood that he shed, the fruit of the vine that we drink, the blood that he shed for us. It's a memorial each Lord's Day, each first day of the week for us as a reminder of what God did for us and what his Son did for us in the suffering of that. It also ought to remind us that we know these things through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, who brought these information from God to us so that we can know all these things and understand why we're here. So the study of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, I hope will be interesting to you as it has been to me as I've studied these things and looked over many things through a Bible about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This morning, let's talk about these things, and we'll start with God the Father. And so God the Father, as we know him, the Almighty God, the one who is everlasting, the one who created heaven and earth. When we think about God the Father, we see that it is through Christ that we have fellowship with the Father. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's look at that verse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. Which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we think about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, through Christ, we have fellowship with the Father. How do we do that? Well, God sent His Son to die for our sins. His Son came and did all the Father's will while He was on earth and did not sin at all. And so He gave His life on the cross for us. And in dying on the cross for us and shedding His blood, He allowed us and permitted us and paved the way so that we could have forgiveness of sins. We are separated from God through our sins. All sin has come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and the wages of sin is death. But Isaiah 59 and verse 1 and 2 talks about the fact that our sins and iniquities separate us from God. As a matter of fact, that's what had separated Israel from God, was their sins. And sin separates us from God. So we need to have fellowship with the Father, and we're allowed to be with the Father and call Him Father through what His Son did for us in giving His blood, that we could have forgiveness, so the Son then could add us to the church, the body of Christ, and have fellowship with the Father. And without that sacrifice that the Father willed for His Son to come, the Father allowed that to happen, and He permitted it for us so that we could have forgiveness, and the Son then willingly came and fulfilled the Father's wishes, we have fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There, 1 chapter 1 and verse 3 of 1 John. Secondly, we see that God the Father is light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Think about it. There's several aspects of thinking about God being light and in Him there's no darkness at all. Well, number one is, when we sin, we separate ourselves from God, so we're walking in darkness. To be able to walk in the light and the pathway that God wants us to go, we have to receive the words of the gospel through which we are saved. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we're called by the gospel and through the gospel, and so God then provided a pathway, an avenue through which we could know how to come out of the darkness of sin into the light of truth, because God is truth, and we're going to cover that a little bit later. So God is light. God opens up everything for man. We're in the darkness as mankind. We'd be in the darkness in so many things if God did not reveal it to us in His Word. Through God's Word, we understand how the worlds were framed, Genesis chapter 1. We understand how man was created and woman was made. We understand those things. We understand how things work because God spoke it into existence. So God is light. And God then provides the way that we can come out of darkness, which is sin, into light, and follow the light of the gospel to obey Him. God is light in that through Him there's life. You know, in heaven there'll be no darkness at all. There'll be no need of night, because there'll be no need to rest, because it'll be all joy and happiness and peace there around the throne of God, worshiping God daily forever and ever and ever, being happy and contented, no pain, no sorrow, no tears, no darkness there. But opposite of that, those who do not obey God and do not come to the light to obey through the gospel, God will, those people will stand condemned the sight of God by His Son in the day of judgment by the words that He's spoken to us, and in that will be told to depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, I never knew you. So in hell, Revelation describes hell as a place of darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there's total separation, total alienation from God or light at all. Think about that. We like to know that we can see where we're going. We like to have light. It makes us feel like we're living, like we're alive. And so God is light. It is through God that we have life. So God the Father, we have fellowship with Him through Jesus the Son, and God is light. God is love. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. God loves us, and He bestowed His love on us through what? Through His Son. Look at chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 of 1 John. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And so God loves us. Look at verse 10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God loved us. God then, the Father, we have fellowship with Him through His Son because He provided that by sending His Son, and His Son fulfilled the Father's wishes by dying on the cross for us. God is light. In Him, things are revealed that we need to know. Through Him, we have an avenue and a pathway directed in how we ought to walk and must walk in this life in order to inherit eternal life. God is love. No greater love has any man known than someone would lay down his life for another. But Jesus, the Son of God, laid down His life for all. What did the Father do? He gave up His only begotten Son, who was with Him from the beginning, who was there at the beginning when they created man and made man in His image. He loved His Son, but He loved man enough to send His Son to die for us. God is love. No greater love can be known than that which is of God the Father and the Son who died for our sins. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, and we see that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. As human beings, we're limited. We're able to learn a lot of things. God programmed us and gave us the ability to learn, to add to our knowledge, to be able to accumulate and gain wisdom. He allows that for us. He permits that for us. We are built in that way. But God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He knows what's in our heart. He knows our very mind. He knows the count of the hairs on our head. God knows all. He knows everything, and God is greater than our heart and knows all things. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. God knows your heart and He knows my heart. He knows what we're thinking. He knows when we sin. He knows why we sin. He knows if we truly repent of sin and turn from it. He knows everything about us. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. I'm limited on what I can know. I'm very limited on what I can know about you, and you're limited on what you can know about me. What we see is fairly evident when we look at one another, but we don't know one another's heart. But we're not greater than the other man's heart. I don't know what's in his heart. You don't know what's in my heart. Now, we may be able to show what's in their heart by living in a good way and leading a good example for others, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, that Christians are the light of the world, that we need to let our light so shine that God may see, that men may see our good works and glorify who? The Father in heaven. So God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 for just a couple of minutes and review some things that we studied in recent times in our life as Christians, and they may be even before we became a Christian. Think about God and how great He is. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Think about that. God revealed to us and makes us know how creation came. God is greater than us because He created this universe in which we live. God is greater than our heart because He knows all things about us. We're limited, but God is greater. He knows all things. Look at verse 3. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, let there be a firmament amidst the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so He divided that. And so the firmament called heaven, verse 8, So the evening and the morning were the second day. And so he made light. He created the day and the night. And so light for day and darkness for night, so man could rest. God is greater than our heart. God is greater than us. And then in verse 9 through 10, he let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And gathering together the waters, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And so God is greater than man because God made all these things that we see and have evidence of on earth that we cannot make. God created those things. God is greater than our heart, and he's greater than our abilities. But he allows us to be able to come to him and have fellowship with him through his son Jesus, whom he gave for our sins. We go on down and we see in verse 11, he created the grass and the herb yielding seed and everything. He made all those things. And in verse 14, he made all the lights in the heavens. He made all those. And so he made two great lights. Verse 16, the greater lights rule the day and the lesser lights rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Verse 17, so look at God and how great he is. He's greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Then he says in verse 20, then God said, notice God spoke everything into existence. He didn't have to exert, didn't have to work after it. He just spoke it into existence. God is greater than man. He said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So when you go fishing, or you see people with fish, or you're eating fish, remember who made those. Well, when you see all the things of the earth, the creatures of the earth that's living on the earth, God made all those. God is greater than man. He made the sea creatures and every living thing that moves. And then we go on and see in verse 22, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And so the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God provided a way that what he created for us, for man, would be able to go through time, and there'd be more of it, procreate. There'd be more fishes. There'd be more animals. There'd be more beasts. And there'd be more. God put all that in motion. God is greater than man. He put all that in motion. Then verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures, cattle, creeping things. He made the beasts of the earth, verse 25, and all of its kind, cattle according to its kind. And then in verse 26, after God had made all the universe, made the waters and the dry land and everything on it, he said in verse 26, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, verse 27. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And we're going over in chapter a little bit further, and we see that God made man. But later on in the chapter, he made man, and then he made woman from his rib. So God is greater than our heart. God is greater than mankind. The psalmist David talked about how great God is over the book of Psalms and who God is and how we should appreciate what he's done for us. So look at what the gospel, the little epistle there of 1 John tells us in the first three chapters. He talks about that God the Father, through Christ we have fellowship with him. That God is light, God is love, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Well, let's look a little bit further this morning. God the Father sent his Son to be the propitiation, that is, the appeaser for our sins. When God looked down upon man and saw the sinfulness of man, it started with Eve and Adam in the garden when they ate the forbidden fruit. He looked down upon man and saw the generations of men becoming sinful. Even there when the first sin happened in the garden, God made reference and instructed that he would send one that would do away with that which causes sin, that give man a way to overcome sin, because sin brings about death. And so he promised his son, his seed then. So God sent his son later, over time, through prophecy. He sent his son to be the appeaser for our sins. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why did there need to be an appeaser? One that could appease God and please God in the sense that the sins of man could be taken away so that we could have a relationship with God. God did that because he loved us so much. His son did that because he loved us so much. And so God did that through his son. We need to be teaching this to our children and our grandchildren and to our neighbors and friends, and let them read from God's Word, the Word of God, that was written by 40 different inspired men over a period of about 1,600 years, and everything in that book is in harmony. Nothing conflicts itself. And so, who is God? He is greater than us. God is love and God is light, and he is the one that sent his Son to be the appeaser for our sins. Well, God abides in believers, and they in him. We're here today to worship God. Who do we abide in? We abide in God. Who does God abide in? In those who believe in him and come to him in obedience. We do that through how? Through his Son, whom he sent and shed his blood. And when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we're able to confess that, and we understand that he died for our sins, was buried and rose the third day and overcame death, ascended back to the throne of God in heaven in Acts chapter 1, and is seated now at the right hand of God, having all authority and power over the church, the kingdom of God, and is the foundation, the chief cornerstone of the church. When we realize all that, we know that God, through his Son and what his Son did and what the Holy Spirit did in revealing God's Word for us, then we come to God through obedience. And we're baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away. The Lord adds us to the church himself. He adds us to the body of Christ himself, Acts 2 and verse 47. So God does what? He abides in those who believe in him. And we abide in God. Is there any better place for one to be than with God? You can't find it. And God provided that so that we could be with him. He abides in us, and we can abide in him. Well, God gives eternal life through Jesus Christ. He gives eternal life. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verses 14 through 18. 1 John 1, verses 14 through 18. I've got the wrong scripture there. Let me find that. First John chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Think about that. God provided that through his Son. Chapter 5 and verse 11. And look at verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So this morning, as we think about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there is God the Father, and his Son came and died for us through the Father's will and allowed us to have a relationship with the Father. We know that because the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Godhead, was sent by Jesus, the Son of God, to search the mind of God, the Father, and reveal it to us through inspired men, and we have it today in the Bible. How blessed are we to have God in our life? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's go to John chapter 1 very quickly, the Gospel of John. I got a little bit ahead of myself earlier when I said that because I was thinking about the Gospel of John and we were still in 1 John. So let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and let's look at just a few verses here concerning God giving us eternal life through his son Jesus. John chapter 1 verses 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh, and the word is Jesus, the Son of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Remember, Jesus was eternal. He was with God in the beginning. And of his fullness we have received, and we have all received, and grace for grace. Think about that. Salvation through his Son. Grace through the Son of God. The grace and mercy of God provided through Jesus. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So this morning, as we think about the epistle of 1 John, look at what we've noted just on these few points and these few verses about God the Father. The Lord's willing, after our class this morning and our last service, before we engage in partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're going to study a little while longer about the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that's talked about here in the little epistle of 1 John. Every Christian needs to appreciate what God has done through his Son and what the Holy Spirit did by revealing God's Word to us so that we have it today, so that we can know how to live and go to heaven. God has revealed to us his plan. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God's plan is that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized, and you can have forgiveness for your sins and have a relationship with God the Father and serve Him faithful through death, and heaven can be your home. If you're here this morning and perhaps you're a child of God and you sin in your life, you have an advocate with the Father that we've already talked about this morning, that you can go to the Father and ask Him to forgive you with a penitent heart, confessing your sin, and He will forgive you. If perhaps you're here this morning and you have sin in your life that you need to repent of and confess in a public way, and we help you with that, we urge you to come while Barry leads us in the invitation song.